Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, as we will read from John chapter 21, the verses 1 through 19. John chapter 21, 1 through 19. After that, we will confess our faith. And after that, let us sing from Psalter number 64, all the stanzas. So first then, the reading of God's Holy Word, John 21, 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth, and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. For when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes bread and gives them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And here begins our text, the verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. This is the end of our text. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. So far then, the Word of God. Let us now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and let us say in our hearts, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe on Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation of the Lord, perhaps you have heard the saying, the treatment is equal to the disease. Or, to say it in another way, the correction is what is required for the failure. Or, when you look at it in regard to what Peter has done, you could say it in this way, that the special attention that Jesus gave to Peter is equal to the sad denial that Peter showed at a certain time during Jesus' suffering. And of course you know what I am referring to. Now this afternoon I would like to consider this special attention that the Lord Jesus gives to Peter after His resurrection. And we want to consider that then, first of all, an examining attention, secondly, a discovering attention, and then thirdly, a restoring attention. Now, congregation, we have to sort of visualize the scene for a moment. The Lord Jesus has invited His disciples for an early morning breakfast on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, or you could also call it the Lake of Galilee. And the invitation is very short and very simple. Come and dine. Come and dine. And soon the disciples find themselves sitting around a little fire of coals on the beach there, and are enjoying a small breakfast of broiled fish and bread as it has been prepared by Jesus. And you can, as it were, see them sitting there. Thomas and Andrew are there, Nathanael and John, and Peter too. Peter is there as well. Yes, he is there too. And that may be surprising when you look at what has happened in the past. And as they are sitting there, it's just like old times, as if nothing has changed, as if there never had been an episode of him, Peter, denying Jesus. Can you see Peter sitting there amongst the other disciples? What went on in his thoughts? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, and so we're not going to speculate. However, it is possible that his thoughts may very well have gone back to that other morning, that other time, when very early in the morning, he too was standing around a fire of coals. He was standing there, and gradually had to walk away from it. No doubt, his thoughts must have gone back to that very time when he denied knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, even by saying it no less than 3 times, accompanied with cursing and with swearing. Perhaps as Peter sat there by this fire of coals for this early morning breakfast with the Lord Jesus, he may have thought that Jesus may actually have forgotten what has happened in the past. Jesus may have just let it go. Perhaps Peter may have thought, well, I sorrowed about this sin, so maybe that's good enough. And that's all that is required. Well, Peter did not have to wait very long in order to find out the truth of the matter. As soon as breakfast was finished, Jesus paid special attention to Peter. And he began to examine him. And that is how we have to see it. He began to examine him. How? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, congregation, Jesus would not let things continue as they were before. Jesus would not forget, or for that matter, He would not allow Peter to forget what he had done. Jesus could not and He would not pretend that everything was just fine again just because Peter had felt bad about what he had done in the past. After all, we know, don't we? Peter had openly and publicly denied Jesus. And Peter would therefore also need some very special examination about his wrongdoings, and that too, openly and publicly. And so, in the presence of all the other disciples, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of Jonas." Now you might ask, well, why did the Lord Jesus use that particular name to address Peter? Well, you have to understand that this was actually Peter's old name before he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus, his old name. And with that old name, Jesus, as it were, addressed Peter in reflection to his old nature. Jesus, as it were, took Peter back to how he was before he had become a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Jesus, therefore, points Peter at this time back to his weak humanity before he came under the influence of the powers of the Lord Jesus. And so, Peter gets to hear it. "Simon, son of Jonas, this is what you were before you became Peter. This is what you were when you still lived for yourself. Simon, son of Jonas, this is what I must call you now again. After you have denied me those three times, you need to learn something, Simon, son of Jonas. You need to hear me out, Simon, son of Jonas. Alas, Simon, son of Jonas, you have fallen back to your old name again. This is how you were originally, conceived and born in sin." Now, dear people, after we have fallen into a sin, Jesus sometimes has to take us back in thought to our original state before He will actually restore us into favor with God again. He sometimes has to take us back to our original state. Sometimes the Lord Jesus has to examine us, but it comes then in the form of reminding us from where we were taken, showing us our original sinful human nature. Why does He do this sort of thing? Well, I believe in the first place, He does this in order to keep us humble before Him. Simon, son of Jonas, sometimes the Lord has to call us by that sort of name, whatever your name might be, and then take you back to your original state in sin. Not that the Lord Jesus takes pleasure in putting us down, but because He, Jesus, sees the need to put us in the right place before Him, and then in turn have us looking up towards Him. Now, Peter had to hear it three times in a row and took him back three times in a row in terms of what he had done. That is, grievously denied the Lord Jesus. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And this is how the Lord began to examine Peter. And then look at those words, more than these? And I see Jesus, as it were, raising his arm and spreading it across over the heads of the other disciples. Simon, son of Jonas, more than these? Do you love me more than these? This must have been a hard examination for Peter. Because once more, Peter has to compare himself to the other disciples. And really, this was the downfall of Simon Peter before he denied the Lord Jesus. Peter, you see, he was always busy comparing himself to the other disciples, but he always found himself just a little bit better, just a notch higher than the rest of the disciples. He always found himself just to be a little bit more devoted to the Lord Jesus than the other disciples. Lord, he said one time, Lord, though others should forsake thee, yet I will never forsake thee. Lord, I will lay down my life for thee. Now, Peter's had that problem. And he's had that problem ever since he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter found it actually hard not to boast about himself. What does that say, dear people? It says this, that pride was always close to Peter's heart. And now being examined by Jesus, he was forced to compare himself again to the other disciples. But it was a very painful comparison at this time. Does he really love Jesus more than these other disciples? And no doubt that horrible scene comes before his eyes again as he has concluded that really none of the other disciples has acted as wickedly as he has. And true, yes, they all did forsake the Lord Jesus, but none have done what he did. He denied Jesus, even with oaths and with cursing and with swearing. More than these? And with these words, Jesus reached the heart of Peter's sin, the pride of thinking himself better. More than these. Now, dear people, you will understand that, and I trust you know, that pride can be a real problem for us, can't it be? And yes, pride can even become a problem after we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes worldly pride that you had before you became a believer has transformed into a sort of religious pride after you become a believer. You might then begin to compare yourself to others and be inclined to feel rather good about yourselves because, yes, well, the others aren't quite as good as I am. You begin to compare yourself to others. Now, we know also from the Bible that God doesn't want any sort of pride from us. And therefore, we are also told, for instance, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And with those words, the Lord Jesus examines Peter, and Peter was quickly reminded that Jesus had not forgotten what he had done. Jesus would not let Peter's sin of denying him just pass by unnoticed. You see, more will have to happen besides the sorrow that he expressed there that time before he could actually be restored in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear people, again, sins of the past ought never to be glossed over. Never. You may have regretted doing certain sins. You may have even grieved about certain sins as well. But what is really required before you are right with God again is more. And that is, the Word has to examine you. The Word has to examine you. And here Peter was being examined by the Lord Jesus that morning after breakfast. Happily, thankfully, blessedly, Peter submitted to this sort of self-examination. Or rather, the examination made by Jesus. Peter made no excuses. He offered no protests. He did not complain about this thorough examination of Jesus. When, with repeated emphasis, in fact, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" And then with good meekness and proper modesty, we hear Peter answer, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Well, let's go on to our second consideration, as we must speak of Jesus' discovering attention. Congregation, has it ever struck you when you are reading this passage in John 21, how that Jesus asked for love? You might have expected of Jesus to ask Peter if he was sorry for what he had done. You might expect Jesus to press Peter for a promise that he will never ever do that sort of a thing again, of denying him. But instead, Jesus asked Peter for love. "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" And dear people, Jesus knows what he is asking for. He asks Peter for a heart of love towards him. And if there is such a heart of love towards the Lord Jesus, certainly then other things will follow. Then sorrow for sin will follow, and the desire for obedience will also follow as well. It will not be absent. Sorrow for sin, repentance because of sin, and obedience, they all flow from a heart of love in the first place. That is, love for the Lord Jesus is as it were, the source from which the sorrow comes, and from which repentance comes, and from which love comes towards the Lord Jesus. And what is most wonderful, the Lord Jesus discovered that sort of a love and that sort of a heart in Peter. Now, dear people, by way of application, Jesus also wants to discover this sort of thing in you and in me. That is, a heart of love towards Him. Heart of love towards Him. The Apostle Paul, he also had love high on the register in biblical obedience. Love, you see, is a necessity for the believer. You can read of that, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which, by the way, is called the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians 13. There the Apostle Paul tells us that love is the greater. It is greater than speaking in tongues. It is greater than the gift of prophecy. It is greater than knowledge. It is greater than faith even. It is greater than any offers, any sacrifices that we can possibly give. In the believer's life, there is faith. there is hope and there is love. But then Paul says at the end, but the greatest of these is love. Love. And then the question comes to each one of us, including myself. Can the Lord Jesus discover a heart of love in us, in you and in me? And indeed, in order to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, you must have repented of your sin and you must learn to become obedient to the Lord's will as well. And there has to be that exercise of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have a heart of love towards the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will repent of your sin and you will confess all that you have done in the past and you will want to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, not because you have to, but because you love Him. You love Him and you want to do what He wants you to do. You see, love then becomes spontaneous in all the other actions. This is why Paul says love is the greatest. And so again, the question has to be asked, can the Lord Jesus discover love in your and in my heart? And this is what is required, of course. And this is also what the Lord Jesus Christ examined Peter for. Is there that love in Peter's heart for him? And it is in this way, in examining Peter, that a discovery will be made. What sort of discovery is it? Well, notice here in our text passage that Jesus asks Peter three times if he loved him. And the first time he asks Simon Peter, son of Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And with that, Jesus asks Peter for the highest love possible. And I won't get into details in terms of language, but the word for love is the highest sort of love that the Lord Jesus asks for from Peter. And if that love that Peter has is more than any of the other disciples could ever express. Peter, do you have the highest love more than any of the other disciples? And then Peter answers, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, again, without being technical, but understand this, let me say that Peter actually used a different word for love than the word that Jesus used. The word that Peter used in response to Jesus' first question, thou knowest that I love thee, is a word that can be described as a lower kind of love, which can be translated as affection, in contrast to the love that Jesus speaks of. In other words, Peter did not dare use that high word of love that Jesus used, but he humbly responds and says, Lord, thou knowest that I have an affection for thee. The second time, Jesus again uses that high word of love. But then he left out the comparison. Let's no longer look at the other disciples. Peter, do you have that high love for me? And again, all that Peter dared to say was, yes, Lord, thou knowest. It is an affection that I have for thee. And Lord, more than that I cannot say. And then Jesus asked him for the third time. But now listen to how Jesus phrases the last question. Simon, son of Jonas, do you have that affection for me? Now Jesus doesn't use that high word of love anymore. He's come down to Peter's level. Peter, do you have that affection for me? As if to say, Peter, I won't ask you to have that high, incomparable love for me. If all you dare to say is that you have affection for me, if all you dare to say it's a small love, it's an imperfect love, dear Peter, I will come down to your level of love. Simon Peter, is there that affection for me? And with that, Peter's heart was discovered. And so was Jesus' love for Peter. And he, Peter, could answer Jesus, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. That is, Thou knowest that I have this sort of affection for Thee. Peter, he really did want to confess his love for the Lord Jesus. But the kind of love that Jesus asked of him at that moment was not the kind of love that Peter even dared to confess. And the kind of love that the Lord Jesus asked of Peter was far too high. It was far too great. It was far too perfect. And Peter said, no, I can't possibly reach that level, Lord. It's far too high. It's the kind of love, you see, that belongs to God. It's the kind of love that gives and gives and keeps on giving, that sacrifices and that keeps on sacrificing, a kind of love that never asks for any sort of favors in return. That high love. Now that's the kind of love that the Lord Jesus asked. And that's the kind of love that the Lord Jesus Himself showed, you see, when He sacrificed Himself. That's the kind of love that the Lord Jesus Christ showed when He went to die the death of the cross in the place of sinners, in the place of you and me. It was that great, high love. And it is that love that was portrayed on the cross of Christ. And Peter discovered that he did not dare confess that sort of love, especially after he had denied the Lord Jesus three times earlier. And therefore, Peter confessed to all what he dared to confess to, and then leaving it with Jesus, who knew all things, Lord, I do have that affection towards Thee. And Lord, if it may be called love, Lord, Thou knowest that I love Thee. Now, dear people, I trust you will understand that this was a very honest and a very sincere response of Peter. And then also this, that this is what happens, you see, when a believer receives that special examining and discovering attention from the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Because when you are born again, when you are regenerated, then you will at times still fall into sin. And that is not an excuse, but it is the reality nevertheless that we still fall into sin at times. But by the same token, we must say that we become honest and sincere before God, because it nags at you. You cannot go on without repenting because of the love that is in you. Yes, you will at times fall into sin. And Peter, of course, and there are others in the Bible that are examples of this. But one thing we know, that if you are a true believer, the Lord Jesus Christ will not leave it uncontested. He will challenge you on it. He will examine you on it. He will not leave you unattended and just let it pass by. He will examine you in due time, and He will uncover you, and He will discover you, not only for the sins that you have done, but also how you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you are ready to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. He will examine you on that. Jesus' special attention to Peter is proof of it. But now, dear people, notice also how Jesus has approached Peter. And I must say it very that it was very patiently, and it was in a very understanding way. After all, Jesus did not say, well, now, Peter, if you cannot confess that high love for me, Peter, that's what I ask of you, I will have none of you anymore, because what you have done is terrible. Thankfully, the Lord Jesus did not say that to Peter. But He, the Lord Jesus, as it were, came down. He condescended to Peter's level. All right, let's talk about love. Well, let's talk about affection. Peter, do you have affection for me? Yes, Lord. You know that I have affection for you. Well, now, you and I, we are also asked this afternoon, dear people, do you and I, do we love the Lord? Now, it won't be a perfect love. It won't be that high love that the Lord Jesus Christ once showed on the cross. But do you love the Lord? Can you confess as Peter once could confess, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love Thee. That is, Thou knowest that I have this affection towards Thee. And the wonderful thing about it is that the Lord Jesus graciously accepted that sort of confession from Peter, Simon Peter. This is all that Peter could confess. And Jesus forgave all the past sins that Peter had committed. In fact, Jesus forgave what Peter was not able to confess. Jesus forgave that Peter could not love Him with a perfect love. How do we know this? Well, that takes me to my third point, as you must see, by giving Peter restoring attention. At the end of Jesus' special attention to Peter, as it is clearly articulated here in our text, we may conclude that Jesus not only restored Peter into communion with Him, but He also restored Peter into service for Him. Jesus did not tell Peter to become more loving towards Him, and yes, Peter, I'll try you out for a little while, was nothing of the sort. But Jesus gave Peter a very simple order, even to the count of three. Striking, three again. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And according to Jesus' wise considerations, communion with Him and loving Him should therefore become apparent in what way? Well, it becomes apparent in how we want to serve the Lord. You know, it's very easy to say, oh yes, I love the Lord, but if there's no desire to serve Him, then we could ask, where is the love? Where is the love? And so, we show our love by our willingness and desire to serve Him. And this is also how it was with Peter as well. And dear people, it is actually a truth that should never be denied that in our serving of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will actually grow in love and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. In our serving, we grow closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be an encouragement for all of us. For Peter, well, this became a reality because he became a full-fledged disciple of the Lord Jesus again, and soon after he became an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, an apostle of the Word itself. Peter would actually go out and he would feed the lambs and he would feed the sheep of the Lord in various places. He would have to go out and he would have to distribute the Word of the Lord, and that is how Peter would feed those lambs and those sheep. He would go out and feed the people with the Word of the Lord. That Word would be of food and of nourishment to the sheep and to the lambs. And Peter would be equipped to do so. Because Having been restored by the Lord Jesus, Peter could stand right next to the weak ones, right next to the tempted lambs and to the sheep of the flock, and comfort them with the love that he, Peter, had received for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter could stand right next to those weak sheep and those vulnerable lambs. And he could speak to them in the sense of, I know what you're going through. I know what it is to be weak. I know what it is to be troubled. I know what it is to be tempted. I know what it is to deny my Savior. I know what it is. But I also know that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is so strong that He will not forget me, and He will not forget you. The love of Christ, dear people, is stronger than anything else in this world. And Peter could confess this. Peter was able, therefore, to understand the complaint of a fearful sheep of the Lord, that it is so easy to stray away from the flock, and that it's so easy to deny the Lord Jesus Christ when you come into a tense situation. And then Peter would be able to advise them, dear brother, I know it all too well, but I also know that Jesus will give you special attention. He gives special attention to His erring sheep, and He will call them back, and He will restore them to the fold. I'm an example of it, as Peter could say. And dear people, this special attention that Jesus gave to Peter made Peter a better person. A better person. The examination and the probing questions about this love for the Lord Jesus and this great need to confess what he felt inside and what he knew inside about the Lord Jesus, they were good and necessary things for Peter to go through. It made him a better man to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, a final word of application, my friend. Perhaps at this point you say, well, I've been at a distance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that I need to be restored to Him. And whatever the distance, why the distance has come about, I won't. You'll have to look at that for yourself. But you confess, yes, I'm at a distance from the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be restored. Then I would suggest to you, allow yourself to be examined by the Word, also the Word of this hour. Allow yourself to be discovered by this Word as to what your thoughts are towards the Lord Jesus Christ. This afternoon, the Lord Jesus comes to you, and whatever name it might be, Jesus says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? How are you going to answer? Allow yourselves to think about these things. And then when you come to the point where you can begin to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ, come to that confession of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you know it's not perfect love, and say, Lord, I do have that affection for Thee. My friend, Jesus will understand. He will understand. And then remember this, being restored to Jesus means active service in whatever capacity you are called. Perhaps it means that you are called to feed the lambs and the sheep of Christ by the Word as office bearers. But it could also be that you're called to simply care for the sheep and the lambs. That you are there to understand them and nourish them with your love. as mothers can do in such a wonderful way. Be tender-hearted towards those little lambs and towards those sheep. Feed those lambs and feed those sheep with the Word of God and with the love that you have for them. Restoration in the service of the Lord, my friend, it will mean then also that your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be strengthened. It will be strengthened. And your love for the Lord Jesus Christ invariably will increase. And therefore, begin feeding others with the same food that you have been fed with, as Peter once did when he was restored. Let's hear for a moment what Peter has to say many years after he has been restored. Speaking to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, he says the following: Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter is now excited. He is now in full love of the Lord Jesus Christ as much as he can confess it. And he feeds the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even today. And so I dare say that Jesus' special attention to Peter has paid off. May that also be the case with each one of us. Amen.